Hello. It's Wednesday, the 18th of September in the year of our Lord 2024. Hope everyone's doing well. Hope everybody caught the show that we did last night when we went through the court documents for Diddy, who has been refused bail. They are back in court again this afternoon, 2:30 Eastern Standard Time. So that's going to be around 7:30 tonight. We may go live actually and see what they're saying. They're going in to try and get him out, to try and get him on bail. Don't think it's going to work. I think he's going to rot. And I couldn't be more delighted. So, today's show, I've got a very dear friend who I've known a very long time down in Plymouth. We've done some bloody crazy shows together. He's gone on some bloody crazy missions, even driving up to the very north of Scotland and going over to the Shetland Islands and registering his cars under a tiny little isle with a gentleman called Stuart, who'd found a little island and made it his own sovereign state. It's been a roller coaster of a ride with Danny. We're talking about Danny Bamping, who back in 2020 decided, well, no, he stood up for the town where he lived in and saw exactly the narrative of the woke council down in Plymouth in regards to changing a name of a square in Plymouth that's been named that for absolutely centuries. And the woke Plymouth council decided the name was racist and they wanted to change it. So we came along, well, we were sort of like reporting on Danny's journey with Plymouth Council back in 2020. Now, I'm going to bring this up on the screen. This was the first show we did about this, and it was back on the 12th of November 2020. And I've got Danny here. We're going to go over the whole story of, we're going to go from start to where we are today and what's happened today, because we do have some good news. Danny Bamping, hello.
Hello, darling.
You're right.
I'm good. Nice to be here.
I'm glad you're there as well. We haven't seen each other in ages. We should hook up because we're not that far away.
No, we should catch up. That would be good. But we're
We should.
catching up now.
We are. We are. Come on then. For new listeners,
What
let's go back
happened?
in history and tell the story of you and your wonderful relationship with Plymouth Council and Sir John Hawkins Square.
Yes, well, in May 2020, George Floyd died due to police brutality.
Yeah, right.
And basically, then the whole Black Lives Matter stuff kicked up. And Labour, being in control of Plymouth City Council at the time, decided to be woke as wokeness. And then, because somebody put up a sign near Sir John Hawkins Square saying, no, he was a slave trader. So they're actually thinking that slavery was racist, which is also misconceived and completely wrong. But that because somebody then complained about it and somebody put a sign up on Drake's statue on the Hoe saying slave trader, and then somebody took a picture of that. And that's proudly, massively, that picture is in the box, the Museum of Plymouth, as a big exhibit with Drake's statue, with the picture of slave trader thing hanging around his neck. It's mental. So anyway, the council then decided, oh, we can't have a square named after a slave trader. So they decided to try and change the name of the square. And because of Black Lives Matter, the black footballer Jack Leslie, who played for Plymouth Argyle, he was the fourth highest goal scorer for Argyle, and he was being made a big thing about because allegedly he'd been denied an England cap, although there's no actual record of it that he'd been denied an England cap, even though he was in the fourth tier of the British thing. And that he was removed from the team sheet to go to Ireland to play a friendly in Ireland, at the last minute, allegedly, And so that they were on the bandwagon with Jack Leslie saying he was denied his England cap because of the colour of his skin. And personally, I think if he was picked to go to Ireland, I think they maybe realised, hold on a minute, this is like 1925 or something, 1930s or whatever it was. Maybe we shouldn't take Jack to Ireland because Irish were pretty racist back then. Yeah, and that might have been a health and safety issue for Jack in that sense. And they might have been protecting him. I don't know. If he was actually named on the team sheet and then removed, that's my personal view. Anyway, Jack Leslie now... His name is in the boardroom at Plymouth Argyle is called Jack Leslie Boardroom. There is a bronze statue of Jack Leslie outside Home Park. And the unnamed road next to Home Park, off Outland Road, is now named Jack Leslie Way, which was my idea. But I'll come to that later. So...
You actually mentioned it on this show. You mentioned it on this show back in 2020.
Yeah, so what happened is that nearly 60 people wrote to the, they put a notice up in the square. People had 21 days to 28 days to write a letter of appeal. The lawyer from the council sent an email to a councillor to say, if you want to appeal this, you've got to write a letter of complaint or a letter of objection, right? That's what. So the word appeal never appeared in that email from the lawyers, the solicitor from the council, sending it to councillors who then wanted to write their own letters of objection. So they had like 58 letters of objection, but 59th letter was mine, and I put appeal in mine because that's what the legislation said. So the council were able to get rid of 99.9% of all the letters because they used the wrong wording. So the court didn't accept those letters. What more to the point is, the court then got all those letters, scanned them all in, put them into one PDF file and sent it back to the council unredacted, which is I complained to the ICO and that they said that's a data protection breach. Yeah, and HMCTS said, yeah, sorry about that. Council, in the meantime, have got all the objection letters and who wrote them. Anyway, I got through the net. Then we have a court case. Before the court case, I write an ADR letter to the council. It's called an alternative dispute resolution, you know, to try and resolve and find a remedy outside of the court process in the courtroom, yeah? So I wrote to them and said, look, no need to go to court. I find a perfect solution because I've been on Google Earth and I thought, why are they renaming a square in the Victorian area of Plymouth, historic area, Elizabethan area, all that stuff, really loads of history there, where the oldest one of the oldest buildings in Plymouth still is, and putting a footballer's name there? It didn't make sense. It's completely out of context. That's why they put Sir John Hawkins' name there 40 years ago, and that nobody's batted an eyelid until George Floyd died. So... now you've got a situation where I've gone on Google Earth, discovered that the road behind the Life Centre that comes off Outland Road and encompasses Mayflower Car Park right up to Home Park, that road was unadopted when they built the Life Centre. And unadopted means nobody's got a legal responsibility to maintain it. Not the council, not even the highway, right? Yeah, because it didn't have a name. So when I went on Google Earth and thought, call that road Jack Leslie Way. So I wrote to them ADR letter, August the 18th. It's on my website, dannybamping.com. You scroll down on the council bit. It's there. And I wrote to them and said, look, this makes sense, puts it all in context. This road is unnamed. That's where he played football. That's where his statue is going to be. Leave Jack Leslie, Sir John Hawkins Square, as Sir John Hawkins Square, and give that unnamed road the name Jack Leslie Way, which is now got, by the way. So I don't know if I've mentioned that before, but I have. But anyway, So the point is that happened where I went to court to appeal a decision that to change the name of Sir John Hawkins Square to Jack Leslie Square. And I think they were trying to replace a perceived slave trader and racist with a perceived alleged victim of racism. That was their thought process of, we're going to replace you with a black dude.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if he's a footballer.
It doesn't matter. That's it.
Home Park's 2 miles away, or a mile and a half away. just crazy. Anyway, so I go through the court process, and the council never revealed who made the decision, when it was made, yeah, or actually the reasoning behind it, yeah. So the actual subject of my appeal through the magistrates' court was never disclosed. And the whole case law that they used against me, Basildon versus James 2015, was that I had to prove the council's decision to be wrong. Okay? But I couldn't prove their decision to be wrong because it wasn't on the fucking table. It wasn't in the bundle. Nobody talked about it when I cross-examined them on the witnesses. They didn't put Councillor Mark Lowry forward as a witness. They didn't say, oh, by the way, Councillor Mark Lowry made the decision on the 11th of June 2020 in an email, which I eventually got after the court case, after I made an FOI to get all their emails, which I did. And they sent it to me, and I found it. It's funny.
Right.
So I then lose at court. They get, like, 10 grand's worth of costs against me awarded in a costs order. Yeah. Judge Matson at the time ignored the fact that the decision wasn't on the table. And that's what I was trying to prove to be wrong. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she was brought in allegedly.
That's right.
Specifically to deal with me. Yeah. And then I went through that Finlay Coffey thing. And the second hearing, she appeared, right? Like Mr. Ben, right? The whole thing was nuts. And I got railroaded. I did what's called appeal via way of case dated. And she wrote it in such a way I would have failed. So what I did was I judicially reviewed her drafting of the case dated appeal to the High Court. And right. The High Court came back to me and went, oh, you can't do that. And I went, I can, because it's a judge's decision. So anybody can judicially review a judge's decision. Simple as that. And that her decision was to write that draft of that court of appeal or case stated appeal to the High Court, and it was all wrong. And I was saying, no, you need to change it, you need to alter it. basically, she wouldn't. She did the first time, but then she just missed the point again, deliberately missing the point, knowing that she was winding me up. So anyway, the High Court came back to me and said, no, actually, you can't judicially review a decision. And then I went back and went, yes, I can. Filed it. It went to a judge and he went, well, you can judicially revision, you can do this, but we're not going to allow you to. So it fails, basically. So then I tried to appeal that decision, right, to the Court of Appeal. And every time the council responded by this barrister, Charlotte Davis, with a big bundle of stuff, yeah, a big, like, written skeleton argument going against it, saying, no, you can't be able to do this because of this, that, the other. And every time they got a cost order. So they got like 3 or 4 cost orders against me, totaling 17.5K they are now. Yeah. And that's like 3 years ago. And have they tried to enforce them? No. So what happens next is that my good friend, Nick Kelly, became in control of Plymouth City Council in May 2021. And he was the leader of the council. One of the first things he tried to do was give the unnamed road next to Home Park behind the Life Centre the name Jack Leslie Way. But Giles Perriott, the deputy CEO of Plymouth City Council, decided, I'm going to drag that out. And he dragged it out all the way until like February. So he tried to start the process in like June, like in 2021, and it didn't happen until February. And yet every time they had a meeting, Nick were bringing up, and then eventually Nick basically turned around and said, Giles, we're doing this. We're not finishing this meeting until we do it. So they wrote to Jack Leslie's family. They wrote to Argyle and said, we're thinking about doing this. What do you think? And they both came back and said, great idea. We're both for approval of it. Do it. So then it happened. So because I dragged my judicial review and appeals to the High Court and stuff out so much, by that time, the road had been named Jack Leslie Way, and that meant they couldn't rename the square Jack Leslie Square because you can't. I mean, that's government legislation, government going against their own policy. You know, you can't have two Jack Leslie roads.
No.
Yeah. So the council then roll on another election, local election, because they, last year, and then they and then he got more seats and Labour got back in. And basically they then decide to change the name of the square to Justice Square.
Oh, right? For goodness sake.
Yeah, I'm not joking, right? In the meantime, Plymouth City Council have been able to get a SPOC against me, which is called a specific point of contact, for the last 3 years since I discovered their decision or the email, yeah, and exposed it. They've then put me on a SPOC. Problem is, the Plymouth City Council don't have a SPOC policy. In order to put anybody on a SPOC, you need a SPOC policy, and they haven't got one. So they've unlawfully put me on a SPOC for the last 3 years. Then that SPOC letter that was sent to me got leaked to Carl Eve at Plymouth Live via an elected councillor. The council admitted an elected councillor had sent the letter outside of the council's network. Yeah? So they admitted the breach. And I know who it was. Mark Lowry. Allegedly. But anyway, so then they also get an e-crow against me, an extended civil restraining order, because I applied back to Matson to ask her to set aside her original decision, because now they couldn't name the square Jack Leslie Square because of Jack Leslie Way. And I'd written the ADR letter before court to suggest it. And also, they never disclosed the decision, which I discovered was a breach of their policy, because they didn't contact Jack Leslie's family until 4 days. They'd actually decided to use his name. And in their policy, they had to get written permission from the family before they could even use his name as a nomination. That's what their policy says. And I think that they realised that Mark Lowry's decision on the email of June the 11th, 2020, was a direct breach of their policy, and therefore it was never written down, it was never reasoned, and it was never published on the council's website, which all councillors' decisions and all delegated decisions must be done. Because when a councillor or a council officer makes a formal decision, maybe even an emergency one, like Richard Bingley did when he was leader to chop down the trees in Armada Way, that had to be published on the website within half an hour of it being made. Because then Straw's barrister, the same barrister we've just used to beat them with Sir John Hawkin Square, he, Richard Harwood, OBEKC, put in an emergency judicial review with injunctive relief to stop chopping the trees down, even though they ignored that for an hour after they'd been served with it. That's another story. But the point is, ultimately, that with Sir John Hawkins in 2020 and recently in 2023 to change it to Justice Square, neither decision was written down, was reasoned, was published. So, Luke, I went to court and appealed fresh air, and yeah, I lost.
It's just insanity, isn't it?
Right. And because of my civil restraining order, I couldn't appeal the latest decision, even though the judge came back 2 weeks afterwards when I complained, saying, actually, you could have appealed. I would have let you do that, which absolutely goes and flies in the face of the extended civil restraining order. And just like, oh, and you can help somebody else if they do an appeal. So I helped my good friend Jill to write a letter, and other people did as well. And she was the only one persistent enough to chase the court down to pay the £62 fee within 15 minutes of the deadline, because the court didn't phone her and they wouldn't answer the phone. Yeah, they did everything in their power to stop Jill paying the £62 fee so that then it created a court case. I was there with her.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was mental what they were doing. So anyway, she got over the line. There then becomes a new court case. And then we get Straw's barrister, Richard Harwood, KC. We've got a really good solicitor called Nick, and on board as well. And they've been amazing. Jill had to put up nearly two and a half grand of her own money. But the skeleton argument that Richard put together just blew away the council's position. And what it is that because they didn't record the decision, there was no decision. So there's no, you can't appeal fresh air. Although I did the first time around. And then they realized, oh, we should have recorded this decision, because the decision that I found on Basildon's website from Basildon versus James 2015, that was recorded. It's on their website. Yeah?
Yeah.
So this is the thing, is that then they've capitulated and they've come back and they've gone, yeah, we'll pay Jill's costs and we'll vacate the hearing, which should have been tomorrow, the 19th. Yeah? So yeah. The hearing was due to be tomorrow and they've pulled the plug at the last minute, which is now it's on Plymouth Live, and I put it on my website, plymouthi.co.uk, and it's all on there what happened. But it's amazing how much corruption and how much they've covered up to get this far.
Okay, so where are we now? You say it's on the website and everything. Well, tell us, because you're on the show. We need to know.
Well, it's on plymouthi.co.uk. It's on Plymouth Live's website.
Can't you just go through what it says in case people don't? They're listening to the show. They're working. They may not have time to go.
Well, yeah, it says Plymouth's plan to rename Sir John Hawkin Square to Justice Square is back on hold. You know, the one I've written slightly differently. Plymouth City Council agreeing not to change Sir John Hawkin Square name.
Perfect. You know, I can link it all. That's fine. So yeah, carry on. Fine. Sorry, love.
I'll send you the links on Facebook. Yeah. And they're on my Facebook page, actually, because I've shared them today. Yeah, so they're all there. And basically, because the council failed to make a decision to rename the square, and it alternatively it failed to record it and give reasons as required by the Local Government Act 2000, Section 945, and the Local Authorities' Executive Arrangements, Ingram Regulations 2012, Regulation 12 to 14. And this is the kicker. Because they didn't make a decision, they couldn't make a renaming order and have it rubber stamped by the legal team, which is what they should have done before the end of January this year. Because at the end of January this year, the Public Health Act, the section of the appeals, was amended and repealed. Yeah. And now, if they want to change the name of a square or any road, they need to do a public consultation and they need 60% of the people to support the name change.
Fantastic.
So I think that because of where I went with my, and the fact that Richard Harwood, it's really interesting, wrote an article in Local Government Lawyer about local authorities renaming roads and streets and stuff. And he mentioned the Sir John Hawkin Square case twice. And then it went out to consultation from the government. And then the consultation came back and said, if local authorities are going to change any road names in the future, it needs two-thirds of the population or the people on the road, or to do a public consultation, it needs two-thirds of the support to do the change. And, of course, they're never going to get that. So I really think that my case had an effect on them changing the legislation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And now I've won, or Jill's won. She's going to get her costs paid. And now I've discovered that, obviously, I've got 17 grand's worth of cost orders, which were made against me when the council didn't disclose the decision because they hadn't made one. Right. So I appealed fresh air and get 17 grand's worth of cost orders against me. So that's why they've not enforced those. Well, they know that I've probably got no money anyway and I'll never pay them a penny. But it's amazing how far they've gone and how corrupt they've been. I mean, the way I look at it, this is misconduct in public office. This is perverting the course of public justice to pretend to have made a decision and allow people to appeal it and then get 20 grand of costs against them when actually you didn't make a decision in the first place. The thing's insane.
Wow.
You couldn't make it up. This is going to be a whole chapter in my book, which is aptly called You Couldn't Make It Up.
Good. Yeah, it's just insanity what's going on right now. Absolute insanity.
Yeah, yeah. But this is a victory against wokeism.
It is a victory, and there are more and more little wins coming, I'm noticing.
Yeah.
We've got to really focus on the winning side of things, because it's doom and gloom. We've got that idiot in charge. I can't see this guy lasting much longer.
What? Keir Starmer.
Oh, flicking hell. There's no words. There's no words.
There's a few.
Well, there is, but none that I can say on air.
Oh,
it's
really?
It's frightening.
I did swear earlier. Sorry. I swore
It's,
earlier.
you know,
Apologies.
but we don't have a Trump. This is what I mean, we're leaving it in God's hands. You got to leave it in God's hands because this is all a bloody spiritual war. They're after every faculty of our life, everything that's good. They're
Every
trying to
soul,
destroy.
every
I
soul.
saw a video earlier. It was an old Rowan Atkinson. I'm going to send it to you. I can't. I can't. We can't share stuff like this anymore. But I actually.
You can on X.
Yeah, maybe I should do that. I'll send that. I
Honestly,
saw it on Instagram. I actually
X
saw it on Instagram. But it
Twitter
is
or
so
X.
below the belt talking about immigrants.
Right. But
It
look,
is.
I'm just saying that Twitter or X, whatever, it's changed so much since Musk has got hold of it, and
I know.
so much for the better. It really is. I mean, even I'm on there now and again.
Yeah, no, it's yeah, I'm using it more. I still, do you know what? Facebook still haven't told me why. I haven't had any email, any warning, and I had nothing. My old account, I've had that account since 2008. There's pictures of Jack, who is now 19,
Wow.
of 4 years of age on his first day of school. That were on there. I mean, they're probably on a hard drive somewhere, but it was a lot easier because I could just go back to the beginning of my Facebook. Everything gone. No option to, no explanation,
Oh,
nothing to appeal. Just I woke up one morning and it was gone.
what, your whole Facebook profile?
I hope my Facebook profile.
Wow.
And they
Wow.
said I'll receive a letter and I should be able, I'll receive an email. There's been no email. I've gone through my spam boxes, I've gone through everything. No chance to appeal. And every time you try to go there, it just sends you to their community standards. You're on a loop.
Right.
No chance for appeal. Don't know how you can't get in touch with them. And saying that with X, I still haven't got my old Twitter account that was banned when I interviewed Dr. Ardis.
Well, you should appeal it. You're
The
probably going to get it back
venom.
on now. You should appeal it. Appeal it. You're probably going to get it
I
back
have
on.
done. It keeps saying they're waiting. It's just waiting. I mean, there must so many millions of people with
Right.
far bigger accounts than I ever had them removed. I know a lot of people have got them back.
No.
But I haven't as of yet. And I'm
Right.
still banned on PayPal, still not even allowed an eBay account. It's weird, isn't it?
It
Bastards.
is.
So,
Yeah,
what's
no.
next anyway?
What's next?
Yeah, for you, what are you up to?
Well, I don't want to give the game away, but you can imagine that if I've got cost orders against me
That's what I was about. Yeah, okay.
and there was no decision, and I went through all that and they put me on a Spark and I've got a crow and all that, and they said publicly said, oh, he sent us 2,000 emails.
Yeah.
They all went in a year, and they all went through my server. So I got my IT guy to go in there and say, if I've sent an email to Plymouth City Council, can you count how many there are? And he was like, oh, I can do that. I can search it, blah, blah. So he went in there. He said, 423, Danny. So
Wow.
that is 423, 2,000. It's not even 25% of 2,000. So they completely lied to the court that they'd made a decision. They said that I'd harassed the family of Jack Leslie when I just wrote to them once and said, this would be a better option. Look, the road next to Home Park, where the statue's going to be, doesn't have a name. Why don't you ask the council to have that road rather than this
And
contempt?
that you're done for harassment, yeah?
No, it wasn't
And the
done for
bailiffs,
harassment.
and they'll the council send the bailiffs over to anybody who owes
No.
them 5 pence.
Oh, well, I didn't know. I didn't get that. What I'm saying is, they wrote a let they got they wrote a letter that they got the family of Jack Leslie to sign the day before the hearing. And then they
Wow.
submitted it onto the court file, and Matson read it out. And she said, I'm putting this on the court file. How dare you, Mr. Bamby? I said, I wrote to them once. How can that be harassment? I said, you're all nuts. That's what I said. And then this is such a karmatic
You're
thing that.
lucky you didn't get done for hate crime,
Oh, no, I'll tell
hate
you,
speech.
Lou, it panned out perfectly. And I'll tell you why. Because they kept the family of Jack Leslie, the granddaughters and the niece, and all the close family came to Home Park last year at home just before a home match. And they were presented with Jack Leslie's posthumous England cap, right? And guess who went? And guess who went and shook their hands? And guess who stood between his granddaughter and his great niece holding Jack Leslie's posthumous cap, yeah,
You.
whilst wearing a Plymouth Argyle football top? Yeah, me. And I.
Have you got a photo?
Yes, I've got
Can you
photos.
send me that? I've got to use this for the cover photo.
Yeah, it's so such a karmatic thing. And I said, oh, did you go and see the road sign? And they were like, yes,
Funny.
Danny, thanks for everything you did. And I was, and so I was like, so did you actually sign the letter then? And she looked at me, she said, no, we'd never signed that letter.
Wow.
I was like, I knew it. I fucking knew it. Yeah.
Bastards.
Yeah, they were really nice to me, Jack Leslie's family, because they knew what I'd done. They knew it was my idea. And they knew Nick Kelly came down with me that day, I think, because we
And
went round.
what are Plymouth Live saying? Because I mean, I hate these organisations. Devon Live, Plymouth Live, they're disgusting.
Well, the Plymouth Live, Carl Lee's been quite good actually, to be fair, because he phoned me up yesterday. He said, I'm writing this article, because I wrote it up, see, 2 days ago and put it on my Plymouth Eye website, which is independent news for Plymouth. Yeah. It's like Private Eye, but just focused on Plymouth, which is why it's all controversial shit. Oops, swore. Anyway, they've basically regurgitated a lot that I put on Plymouth Eye, but they've also put some other bits in because I let them see a bit of paperwork because
I
I'm
tell you,
calm.
these people, I mean, their Reach Communications,
Oh, awful.
disgusting. I can remember the UKIP in Totnes. Carl Benjamin, was it? Carl Benjamin?
Oh, yeah. Well, the sort of
Archon of a,
group, what's he called? That's it. What's he called?
Archon of a Cassard or something.
Yeah, that's him.
Him.
Totnes way, didn't he? Was he in Totnes
We
for a
gave a
while?
tea, he was talking, given a UKIP, talking about Brexit. In Totnes, in the square,
Yeah.
and I have never seen anything so disgusting from the certain people, the certain clique in Totnes.
Right.
They threw manure at a veteran. They
No.
punched, it was Goths, a young Gothic girl. She's there, Goths for Trump, or Goths, sorry, Goths for Brexit. She got punched in the face. They
Ouch.
slashed tyres. They're
Ooh.
walking around tannoying Totnes against hate. Like, what? I mean, it d despicable. And Reach Communications, their reports is protesters throw a milkshake
Oh
at
yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
pro-Brexit.
I remember
Throw milk. Are you kidding me? I
that.
lost it. They are a bunch of liars. They are far. They're bloody left wing. They support the narratives. They're liars. And the limit of their reporting on their crime stuffs and their big headlines is phoning the police station once a day to find out what's going on. That is the limit of Devon, Plymouth, and wherever live. Reach Communications. Disgusting. Okay.
Well, I'll just say this. I think there are some exceptions to the rule, as there always are.
Well, that's
And
good.
do you remember Alan Harris?
Yes, I know the name. Why do I know the name?
Remember Zen Zen?
Yes. I know the names.
Right.
Why do I know the names?
Right. Zen Zen was that guy who walked around Plymouth with a sandwich poster
A bit like
thing,
Billboard Chris,
sandwich
yes.
thing. Yeah, and it was basically saying that
I've lost you. Speak
was
up. I can't hear you.
a solicitor in Plymouth who was touching up young boys.
Yes.
Right? He said basically, Zen Zen used to walk around Plymouth exposing the fact that this solicitor had been touching up some of his clients because the solicitor was one of his duty solicitors. Well, so when a young boy got arrested, yeah. Alan Harris, 9 times out of 10, was the dodgy guy. And Zen Zen was exposing it. I mean, he went to Brian at the UK Column and stuff. They did a thing on it,
Yes.
UK Column did. And Zen Zen was taken to court by Alan Harris. And he got an exclusion order that Zen Zen had to move out of Plymouth. He couldn't live in Plymouth. So he went back to Brighton, for, I think, where he's from. I'm not sure if he's died because he wasn't that well. And he's a gay chap. And some of these victims, Zen knew. One of them was called Martin. And I spoke to him on the phone because Zen gave me his number. And Martin said, I'll come forward if somebody else does. Well, if you look at the link I've just sent you on Facebook, he's now in court to face 20 charges.
Wow. Let's have a look.
Yeah. So, no, there's a kicker to this story, though, Lou. There's a kicker to this story, a massive kicker. The police have been trying to investigate this for years. The charges are between 1988 and 2015,
Whoa.
involving nine different complainants, including rape and sexual assault on females and males. Right? This is the kicker. Devon and Cornwall police found it almost impossible to investigate him because during that time, his wife, Kathy Taylor, was the chief
That's right. I remember this. Yes. Sorry, carry on. I remember it. Yes, carry on.
chief prosecutor for the CPS in the Southwest for like 20 years. And she's just retired and they've just charged him. Don't take fucking Scooby-Doo to work out what happened there.
I tell you what, mate. I tell you what. This judge, something's got to happen. Something has to happen with this judicial system in this country. These private, these secret courts, the whole thing, it's got to go. It is so corrupt. As you say, the law is perfect. It's perfect, but you can't continue anything in these corrupt courts.
I'm going to court next week on the 23rd because that's when he's been summoned. I'm going to watch and I'm going to go and video him going into court if I can.
I would really like to do a follow-up then.
Yeah, dirty bastard, man. I mean, Zen Zen, some of the stuff that Zen Zen told me was horrific. I'm sure Zen Zen went to the UK Column meeting at the George. I'm
They
pretty
were good.
sure
They
he.
were really good. They were really,
Yeah.
really good little meet-ups, and you kind of, you connected with everybody, and
And your children were tiny.
they weren't they? Elise has now just finished her master's.
Wow.
She's 23, stunning.
Wow.
And Jack's now 19, nearly
Mental.
6 foot tall, little Jack.
Yeah.
And a fully
Yeah.
qualified carpenter.
Wow. You must be very
And I've
proud.
got grey hair.
Oh, well, you can always dye it.
Oh, it is dyed. It's completely dyed, but who
Oh,
would have
what,
thought?
you dyed it grey?
No. But the grey hair's coming through. I never thought we'd be there. It's dyed, obviously.
Oh,
But
right.
yeah,
Okay.
Jack's 6 foot two. Elise is up flying, and I've got grey hair now. And here
Oh,
we
well,
go.
grow old gracefully, as they say.
Yes,
I've
absolutely
got
not.
grey hair as well. That's
No, I
good.
mean, we had some amazing times. I mean, Stuart. What was his surname?
What, Forvik, Stuart?
That's it.
Oh God! Oh, you mentioned it. I went to that. I went to Forvik. In the Shetlands, I was Forvik's foreign ambassador,
That's right. And you
and I.
drove all the way there in your car to put diplomatic plates on it.
I know, and I drove all the way back to Guy Taylor's place at Bodrum,
Bodmin Manor.
Rodham Manor, and then,
Oh my
and I got
gosh,
there,
they were some funny days then.
and DOG was there.
Who?
The wordsmith, Darren Doge.
Darren Diogi, he's lovely, he
He's
is.
amazing, right? And when I got there, he said,
I keep meaning to phone him and get him on, actually, because he works a lot with Clive.
because that car story is quite funny because Exeter Magistrates Court issued an arrest warrant for my car. I'm not even
That's
shit.
right. I remember.
Yeah.
I remember as clear as anything.
Yeah, and I took it up to Forvik on normal plates
I remember.
and then did a bill of sale with Stuart in Forvik for like £1. And then he gave it me back as my diplomatic vehicle.
That's right.
And then
And
we
we
put,
there was flags, there was key rings, there was passports.
I already had the plates already made up with the Forvik flag on it. And then when we put them on the car, we changed the Wikipedia page to add Forvik to diplomatic plates. And then I drove all the way back to, and didn't get stopped by anybody
So
and went walk.
what's actually what happened there? I mean, what happened?
What I'm saying, when I got there to Bodmin Manor, Darren was there and
Yeah.
I was explaining. He said, "What the fuck?" I was explaining about where I've been. He was like, "No way." I said, "It's now a diplomatic vehicle." And he said to me, "Well, you need to move all the badges off it." So I had, and it was a Toyota Prius. You know, I've had four. I might as well have been a fucking taxi driver. But anyway, I took all the badges off. Yeah, the Toyota badge at the front, the one at the back, the one that said Prius, the one that said hybrid, you know, all the badges. Because Darren was going, they'll have to identify your car if they're going to arrest the car. And if they can't identify it as a Toyota, quite clever, Darren. So anyway, I drove back from Bodmin, back to Plymouth. And 2 days later, High Court enforcement guy from Exeter turned up at my house and stood outside the back of my house for half an hour, scratching his head. Because I'd had diplomatic plates on, so the plates didn't match. The colour was correct, but he couldn't identify as a Toyota and he couldn't come on my carport, so he couldn't trespass. So he, after half an hour, he went. I videoed him for 10 minutes. That was funny. Funny story.
Sorry, I was muted. What happened with Stuart and the whole story of up there? Where did that go? What happened?
Well, he's been arrested, God knows how many times, hasn't he? Because he's contempt of court and God knows what. I mean, the day that I left, he didn't come to meet us to say goodbye. And then we went to see Mary, his partner, and she said, "Oh, the police were here, they've arrested him." Because he didn't turn up at court yesterday. He didn't even know that he was supposed to be in court. So literally, the last 2 hours of me being on the Shetland Isles, I was in court watching Stuart being sentenced.
So, well, yeah, but I mean, did he never got the sovereignty of it, obviously.
No, in a way, he has, because they've never actually proved him to be wrong. And he's
Is
right,
he
because
still up? Does he still go up there, do you think?
I think so, but he's getting very old.
He
I mean,
must
he
be
was
very
old.
old.
Yeah, I mean, and he was older. And that was the other thing. When I went up there, Lockie had just died.
Of course, yeah.
That's why we put that like memorial on Forvic for Lockie, because Lockie thought Forvic was amazing, like a loophole. Yeah. And it was, and it is. Because it's legitimately, lawfully correct. It may be fly in the face of the Act of the Union, but the Act of the Union's based on a lie. Well, it when Sh when Sh where Shetland is involved, it is. Yeah. When you look at how Shetland and Orkneys were like pawned in a gift for a wedding from Norwegian king.
Norwegian, yeah.
I mean, and then it never, and then the wedding never happened because she came over on the boat and it sank. Couldn't make that shit up either. Make a good film,
Don't.
that.
God, we've done some stories, I must say. We've done some stories, Danny. So, okay, I'm really happy for you. I'm delighted. Let's do some more shows. Let's do a kind of have a little regular meetup. Let us know how it goes in court with this dirty pedo.
Well, yeah, it's just well, obviously Carl Eve will be there and he'll do a full report on it. But you
Yeah,
know,
I know, but we'll do an independent one, even if I just share your
20
give
charges of from nine different people. I mean, that guy is not innocent. No way is he innocent.
No.
No. It's a bit like Charles Howson, yeah. Because remember the council named that road near the Jack Rabbit pub Howson Lane, and I got them to change that.
I don't know, I don't remember that.
Do you not remember that? Oh, if you Google Howson Lane, there's an interesting story that will come up and it mentions my name because I was the original complainant to say, you do realize you've got a road in Plymouth near the hospital named after a convicted sexual offender who's now doing 8 year stretch in Dartmoor? Yeah. Yeah, that was the guy who offered me to join the Freemasons. I said, thank you very much. No. No way. Yeah. That was after I won Plymouth Business of the Year 2006.
Oh, was that for your games?
Yeah, my Bedlam cube.
I know Jack still remembers going downstairs when we went to yours when he was little and all those toys.
I had like a basement full of toys, didn't I?
Yeah, you did, Jack.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a long time ago.
Indeed. Right, that's us. Thank you. So, is it plymoutheye.com or .co.uk?
PlymouthEye.co.uk, just like Private Eye, but it's focused on Plymouth. Independent news stories. If you want to send them in, send them in. I'll publish them as long as it's focused on Plymouth and exposing how corrupt they are and stupid they are. Oh,
Okay, well, we'll
and
send this over as well then. We'll send this show over to you.
Yeah, and also I'm going to be putting a new public detective video up, so go and check out my YouTube channel, The Public
Send me all your
Detective.
links. Send me all the links people need to go to for the post, and I'll
Okay.
put them all in there. Danny Bamping, you're one of a kind, and I'm so pleased we're friends.
Thank you.
That's it today. libertytactics.co.uk. We will be coming on probably later to go over the bail hearing and see if Diddy's out. We're also going to deep dive. I mean, we've got to remember where we made the links with the whole Trump shooting and Diddy. As it said, he was supposed to be arrested on the Tuesday. He was pulled in on the Monday. The Sunday night, the same day as Trump was shot. No, the next day, Trump was shot.
Mm.
Trump was shot on the Sunday. And by Monday, the news cycle was nothing but Diddy. He was in New York because he was expecting them to be arrest him on Tuesday, but they came in on the Monday. And I just think that's very, very revealing, because obviously it was headline after headline about the second attempt on Trump, and they want to bury it. So they decided to bury Diddy at the same time. So we're going to be talking Trump and we're going to be talking Diddy later on tonight. So check out Danny's websites and his YouTube channels. And we'll keep in touch with Danny. God bless everyone. Thank you. I can press stop.